On this day, August 8th, 1988, Thomas Edison is finally welcomed at Wrigley Field. I'll tell you that story. Let's get started. On May 24th, 1935, Larry MacPhail, the general manager of the Cincinnati Reds, arranged for President Franklin Delano Roosevelt to push a button from the White House, turning on the lights at Crosley Field in Cincinnati. This was the first night game in Major League history. Now, the Kansas City Monarchs of the Negro League had been using portable lights for years before that. And by the 1940s, every team had lights except for the Chicago Cubs. Now, as a kid growing up in Chicago in the 70s and 80s, my friends and I would take extension cords and line the outskirts of our baseball field with my mother's lamps so we could play night games. So my friends and I had lights before the Cubs did. Well, it was General Manager Dallas Green who first proposed installing lights in 1982. People who lived around the park were against it, and the Illinois General Assembly and the Chicago City Council outlawed it. But the Cubs, who were owned by the Chicago Tribune Company, kept pushing. Cubs management, in order to scare Chicago, said they might leave Wrigley Field and head to the suburbs. Major League Baseball also threatened, saying if the Cubs ever played in a World Series, their home games would have to be relocated to a site with lights. Well, Chicago finally gave in, and a city ordinance was passed allowing the Cubs to play 18 night games per season. Then, on this day, August 8th, 1988, 100 years after Edison helped perfect the light bulb, the first night game was played at Wrigley Field. It was a Monday game between the 4th-place Cubs and the 5th-place Phillies. Never before in history was there such a buzz for a Monday night game between such bad teams. Well, people made plans to come to the game from all over the country. Chicagoans had to tell their out-of-town guests where they could park without getting towed. And if you've ever gone to a Cubs game, you know that's a great danger. Now, people in other states who couldn't make it to the game wanted to watch it on television, and they were really upset when their local stations didn't carry the game. And outside the ballpark, tickets were being scalped for over $1,000. Well, longtime broadcasting great Jack Brickhouse was the master of ceremonies. The Chicago Symphony Orchestra played the national anthem, and celebrities showed up from all over wanting to hang out with the Cub announcer, Harry Carey. And longtime Cub fan, 91-year-old Harry Grossman, was given the honors of flipping the switch. Mr. Grossman's first game was between the Cubs and White Sox in the Crosstown 1906 World Series, and now he's being rewarded for his faithful devotion to his team. Well, before Mr. Grossman hit the switch, he asked the fans to join him in saying, "Let there be light." So the countdown started, the crowd yelled, "Let there be light," Harry flipped the switch, and there was light. And then it was time to play ball. Well, Cubs starting pitcher Rick Sutcliffe was practically blinded as thousands of flashbulbs went off on the first pitch. And maybe that's why Phil Bradley of the Phillies launched Sutcliffe's fourth pitch into the bleachers. Well, the Cubs went up 3-1 in the fourth inning when the heavens opened and poured down a Noah-sized flood on Wrigley Field. And after a two-hour rain delay, the game was called. The game never made the record books, and one fan said, "This proves the Cubs are cursed." And the Chicago Tribune printed the next day, "Someone up there seems to take day ball seriously." Well, Cub fan and popular Chicago columnist Mike Royko humorously wrote in his column the next day the following, "Yes, it is a new era. The only thing that remains the same is that the team stunk then, and it stinks now. And the biggest difference isn't the lights. It's that in those bygone days, nobody was stupid enough to pay a grand to watch a bunch of losers." You know, my father paid 50 cents for the bleachers when he was a kid. He said as a kid growing up in Chicago, the most amazing thing about Wrigley Field is when you walk up those stairs, having come in from the busy city and beholding that beautiful green field with the ivy. It's an amazing contrast, my dad said. It's like two different worlds. Well, the lights didn't make a difference to him. As long as there's grass in a game, it's all good. You know, he took me to my first game when I was in first grade, and Cubs beat the Mets in that game 5-0, and I remember it to this day. And my father's sentiments are mine. The sight of that grass, that open field, that ivy, and the smell of those cheap hot dogs are my idea of paradise. And growing up in Chicago, going to Wrigley Field, that was the most grass I ever saw in one place. Well, baseball is America's game. It brings families together, provides a scrapbook of memories, and it's just plain fun. And if your team wins, well, that's just a bonus. You know, Cubs baseball is a family affair in my family. Personally, I'm a Sox fan. But because of my father and my grandfather who died never seeing the Cubs win, and for my uncles and aunts and the whole family who are big-time Cub fans, I hope that this year they're a winner. After August 8th's game in 1988, Mike Royko said they stunk then and they stink now. Well, in 2016, they're looking pretty good being in first place. So for the sake of my family and families in generations past, I hope the Cubs win it in 2016. It'll provide more memories for us to enjoy.